is the seeking find the lost.
At this point in the study, I would often then turn over to the book of Acts and see, well, did they really understand it? Well, we know from Acts chapter 2 that Peter preached that 3,000 became Christians on that day. But then, if you look further, look in Acts chapter 4. Look in Acts chapter 4, and let's look in verse 4. I want to read that.
Around 5,000. That may or may not include women as well, but it's probably that they're just numbering the men here. Alright? So we see that the church, at the very least, is growing. Okay? Look in Acts chapter 5 and verse 14. I want to read verse 14, please.
Nevertheless, more and more men and women
believe
in the Lord and were added.
So what's happening here is the church growing. Look in chapter 6 and verse. I want to read verse 1. Oh, sorry, you just copied. Chapter 6 and verse 1. I want to read that.
In those days, when the number of disciples were increasing.
Okay, just stop right there. The number of disciples is what?
Increasing.
It's increasing. Look in verse 7, same chapter.
So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith.
Okay, so again, now we're seeing that disciples are increasing, and they're increasing rapidly. Look in chapter 8. In chapter 8, it's up in verse 4. Actually, this is up in verse 1. This is after the sword has been approval to see the dead. It says, on that day, great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except who? All except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. The only men buried Stephen mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church, went from house to house. He dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered did what? They preached the word wherever they went. Now, of course, so there's a number of disciples at this point in Jerusalem. Well, we know from chapter 4 that it was probably 10,000 at that point. But since then, it's been growing and growing rapidly, and now persecution breaks out, and it says all except the apostles are scattered. So these aren't the main leaders. These were just everyone apart from the apostles. They're the ones who've been scattered, and they did what? They've probably lost homes, jobs, their livelihoods. Now they're having to go to different cities. But what do they do?
Preach
the word wherever they went. Do you think they understood what the mission was? This is the church. And as you go through, we're going to look at just a few verses here, but as you go through the rest of the book of Acts, you'll see that wherever they went, the gospel was being spread to the point where later Paul could write in Colossians 1 that all over the world this gospel is growing and bearing fruit. That the gospel has been taken to the furthest reaches of the Roman Empire. That it was being spread by word of mouth, by person to person. And of course, this is what you'd expect, because when you see one person share their faith, and then you know people are going to do the same, it's going to be an exponential growth. And that was what took place in the first century. That Christianity, within one generation, had spread all over the world. They understood what their mission was. They understood what their purpose was. And so, as we go back there to Matthew 28, when Jesus gave the command to the disciples, he made it clear he wanted them to make disciples of all nations, but they were to go ahead and teach that to everyone else. So, we understand that the first disciples called, that they were called the officials of men. What about the rest of us? What is our mission as followers of Christ? It's to do the same as that Jesus did. We are called to follow his example. Now, of course, that's just one area that we're looking at, and that's in the area of evangelism.
But we call to follow Jesus in all areas, and follow his example in everything, and to obey his teaching in everything. But our mission, our mission is the same as Jesus' mission. When we talk about disciples, we talk about Christians. So if you ask someone who goes to church, typically, are you a Christian? Well, most people go to church, you ask them, are you a Christian? What are they going to say?
Yeah.
Most people say yes. Yeah. But you think back to yourself, when you first started going to church, if someone were to ask you the question, are you a disciple? What would you have said?
No.
In most people's minds, what is the difference between a Christian and a disciple?
Or they think the disciple is a more committed Christian.
Yeah. Are more committed. Of course they're going to be sharing their faith because that's what they do. And in most people's minds, you know, you're a Christian, and then if you're really committed, then you can be a disciple as well. When the reality is, there is no difference. To be a Christian, you have to be a disciple.
Mike.
It's more clarification because most people would consider themselves to be Christians who go to church and have a faith. And just as we see the term believer in the New Testament, again, when it talks about people who are believers, it's talking about people who are typically after the fact. It's talking about people who are saints, who are followers of Christ. And yet, the terms have become so watered down that by the 21st century, when we talk about believers today, or we talk about Christians today, the resemblance between a first believers or Christians in the Bible compared to Christians and believers in modern times, very, very different.
And then, sorry, my question is why you tend to do it first, so from the Christian religion, and then study out the Bible. In my mind, studying out the discipleship first, and then, are you a disciple? Then not. This is what a Christian is. And it makes more sense.
It's probably a little different question almost, because their terminology is probably a little fuzzy anyway, so that can maybe apply to their, they might say more committed, but even that is, their terminology is not very clear, so might make it clear, and then clarify it after.
Well, kind of the point is, yeah, I think being coming from a religious background, I find it easy when I was in a study to admit I was a Christian. Because you know that they were around and we'd share about a disciple. And because I'd said that, when I found out I was a Christian, I was more convicted that the faith was the same, the disciple was the same. I could see very clearly, you know, but I probably would not admit. I'll find it harder to kind of be open about it at the beginning, but straight up, I said, oh, great, you know, it's good for you, do then.
I feel like sometimes it could be a judgment call, to be honest, to do it the other way around, like Mike is saying. And like Geeta, something that was very useful for me to hear is that the standard is the same for all people who profess the Christian. And I think, I remember when Leslie and Chris were studying this with me, we didn't bounce too much about the standard because, you know, being a Christian or what have you. But what was really useful, that was really established, and I think that may be the point, is that whatever you claim to be it a believer, a disciple, a Christian, the calling and the standard is the same. And for that, usually, in most religious backgrounds, that's just my thoughts. Or it's not implied. I find it might be thought, but not necessarily implied when you look at the
reason why it's more to do with
as you mentioned.
something you mentioned last week, that we do the study to suit the person, to the institution. So, in a way, I was,
the easy stream in Christianity, and my friend is going to do the above, but I want to do the standard version. There is none of that. It's not, okay, you take the disciple route, I'll take the Christian route, you take the believer route. There's none of that. This applies to all of us. If we want to follow Christ, it's going to call for a life of sacrifice and self-denial. What does it mean, taking the cross daily and following me?
We may actually have character traits that are not biblical, and if you see what the Bible teaches, sometimes we don't always want to do what's right. We're meant to deny ourselves and do the right thing in faith and obedience to God.
Excellent. I'm sure that's absolutely part of that. Go on. Yes, it may mean foregoing pleasures. Yes, I'm going to suffer. Go ahead.
I think it's also taking a stand for those rights when you're in the right place or around, you know, friends or peers.
Okay, being willing to take a stand in the face of opposition. What was Jesus? What has Jesus just been talking about? Why have we said these words? He's just been talking about his own death. He's just begun to. This is after Peter had made the confession about who Jesus was. And so he tells him not to tell anyone, but he says, then he begins to explain that he himself is actually going to be suffer and be rejected, and ultimately he himself is going to be killed. So that they weren't totally clued in as to exactly where all this was going, but nonetheless Jesus was referring to his own death in this context. And then he says, if you want to be my followers, you also must be prepared to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. And so for Jesus, taking up his cross literally meant laying down his life, dying, so that we have an opportunity to be saved. If we're going to be his followers, we also have to be ready and prepared to make sacrifices to be Christians. He goes on to talk about what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and let him get into all his very soul, his very self. Think about this. Imagine you could actually gain any and everything you ever dreamed of. What would that look like for you? You share some of the least simple. What would that be for you?
You know my glory?
Be married to a handsome man? Difficult period. And you stop and think, you know what?
even if the rest of my life were as difficult and challenging as this, but then I die and go to heaven, it will all have been worth it. There is no sacrifice that we can make, and there is no price that we can pay that would make losing our soul a viable alternative. Nothing. We stand to gain everything by being followers of Christ. And if you had it the other way around, you had everything you could wish for the rest of your life till the day you die. But then you died and you were not right with God, it wasn't worth it. And so as we study out discipleship with people, help people to understand, yeah, there's going to be challenges, yeah, there's going to be things we have to change and give up and sacrifices we make. But at the end of the day, it's going to be worth it. And so being a follower of Christ, it has its reward ultimately. As the additional scriptures that we can look at, 1 John 2, we referred to that, basically what's the point in the form that Jesus did. Luke 14:33 makes very, very similar point to Luke 9, and similarly Luke 9:57-58 or 57-62 make the same point that there are going to be challenges involved in being a Christian, but it's ultimately going to be worth it. Luke 14, Jesus gives two illustrations about, you've got to count the cost before you follow, make sure you've got enough to see it through to completion, but at the same time you've got to count the cost of not following, because there's also that sort of heavy price. Are there any questions on this subject?
I have a problem with the
study
potentially that
Christ
is the
Let's have a time out to have, let's have a time out to, what are they called?
seems the only way, or it's called the power of Jesus. Well, I know there's different Jesus studies, and I think for a lot of people think, you know, that would just be really, it gives them a lot of insight into what is it actually about. It says obey everything. Here's this kind of example of everything to obey.
That's exactly right. And we, although in the study series that we're currently involved with, we're not actually going to have a night to focus on that. That was one of the reasons why I preached on Jesus, just to give as an example. But we will be including it in the notes, as I shared last week. But, okay.
One of the things, of course, after teaching for a whole year, I mean, I've been preaching to this like Simon, I just feel like, you know, just even teaching it now, I would put in something about, we do have a mission, but also the whole idea of just that our purpose is to know God as well. Yeah. And the scriptures aren't as clear, of course, the thing about this, it does give clarity, but just that we do have a mission, but we do have a purpose, not the essence here, but that is to know God and have a relationship with God, and really emphasizing that as well. No, because I feel like after everything that's happened, I can struggle a bit with it in terms of that, because it, so I think it's just like stressing how we teach it, because it teaches salvation by works. Not we are, but there's, we just got it in the language. I think you're around, and I think you emphasize that part about having a relationship with God,
I'm going to go to the next one.
That's a very good point. One of the studies in the series is actually entitled The Good News. And because, again, the lack of a number of Fridays, we now at the end of the year, I have to pick which ones we're going to do. And so the ones I couldn't do on a Friday, but I'm doing them on a Sunday. So it's actually this coming Sunday that we're doing The Good News on Sunday. But that's what you said, a very good point. Make sure we're aware that the reason that we're going to do these is that we have a very good understanding of some of the basics. As we study the Bible with people, that it's really up to us to make sure that we study in a way that's going to be the most helpful for the individuals concerned. When I studied the Bible as a permanent Christian, I never did this study. In fact, I didn't do most of the study. I think I did two studies. But that was it, primarily. And so, it all depends on the person and on the individual. So, again, just making sure that we ourselves are tailored to meet the needs of people with them. Alright?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to hand over to Andy now.
close that out and answer the question.
I can summarize, I think, the general gist of it.
Yeah.
Maybe some of the emphasis is a bit. I think there's nothing on the scriptures and the, what's been taught. There's more the emphasis and the foundational stuff. And,
yeah.
And maybe that needs to be looked at because I don't think there's been a careful study on the Gadolos as a whole. I think some people have revised it, they've called it new names and rearranged it. But I think in terms of the core lessons, which is I think this program has, I think what would be helpful for members of the leadership to deal with input is looking at it again a bit more carefully in terms of what might be helpful. I think what's said at the end of the day we have to be responsible to use it wisely, but the leadership direction is quite structured and the expectation is that way, then it might lead people to be doing things that are not necessarily the best for people to tell
you. Well, can I just say that actually before we began the series, I actually did do what I'm saying.
Great.
We looked at the journey, we looked at the scriptures used by LA, we looked at lots of different study series from around the world. and the thing that we're looking at tonight, for me, not just tonight, but for the whole series, ultimately it doesn't matter what series you pick, it's totally possible to overemphasize one area over another.
Yep.
Right? No matter what studies you use, that is the bottom line. And so, in terms of, for us having a basic foundation and a grounding, these scriptures are excellent. They're excellent for us to know, and it's a starting point. Which is also why I prefaced the class with that first study 2 weeks ago, just about why do we have a study series, and what are the dangers, and the opportunities. And, so, and that is the reason for that. Were you there for that?
Yeah, no apologies. I wouldn't get the
point.
Okay. I'm reading my question, sorry.
So, and that is really why we did that separate class, just to address some of these things. For the very reason that it is possible for people to have a misplaced emphasis. Right? In terms of broth, though, knowing the scriptures, it's a good beginning.
Yeah.
It's a starting point, it's a springboard, and as I've said, you tailor the study to meet the needs of the people that we're studying the Bible with. And it's not about going by those from one verse to another. That's not what it's about. It's about loving people and helping them come to know the truth so they can be set free. Alright?
Yeah, thank you, Mike. Thank you.